last first Sunday.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You are more than enough. You are good. You are gracious. You are merciful. You are faithful. You kept us all through the year. And you brought us here today. We thank you so much, Lord, for your goodness in our lives. We don't take anything for granted. The Bible says there's nothing a man has that he did not receive. And where do we receive it from? It says all good things come from above. So we thank you. We give you the praise this morning. We magnify you. We thank you for every big thing. We thank you for every small thing. We thank you for every medium-sized thing. We thank you. Lord, this morning, also thank you for your awesome presence with us. Thank you for speaking to us and touching us the way only you can. We sang it. You said only you can touch our hearts like you do. And we have such faith in that that we know we won't go back the same way we came this morning. So we thank you for it. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, so it's the first Sunday of the month, but the very last one for the year. Amen. It's been such a good God. I welcome those who are also online. God bless you. And as we wait on God, I mean, well, for this week, I kept thinking, you know, about the meeting and praying what God will have said and done. And first, who has testimonies here? How many people have testimonies? Just one hand is up. Okay, so two hands are up. We'll see what happens. Amen. We'll see what happens. Three hands are up. We'll see what happens. But I woke up yesterday and I kept hearing the word short circuit. Short circuit, short circuit. And I prayed a little bit more about it and I had short circuit your faith or short circuit in your faith. I would have called Pastor NY to teach me about short circuiting properly. But I went to Google. You know, I went to Google and I was asking Google, isn't it, that what is short circuiting? I know it. I've experienced it one time. I traveled. I came back to the house and my light, I'll switch on light and it will be, oh, you know, when your light is winking at you, you know what I'm talking about. And then when I switch on this one, that one will go off. And all kinds of things were happening, and it looked like the electricity had a mind of its own. Then I suspect it's the inverter. Well, when is the inverter? I harassed him. So I harassed him. He touched all kinds of things, and they said, no, we think something is wrong. So I called my electrician with electricity, and then he comes, and he looks at it and says, there's a short circuit in there. There's something short circuiting it. So that's where my mind went when I felt God was laying on my heart and speaking and saying, short-circuiting your faith. And he'll help me if I'm wrong. But the short circuit means that there is power in that place. It means there's power there. It's not as if whatever company, power company you deal with, it's not as if they are not supplying electricity. But that electricity is not powering what it should power. That electricity isn't reaching what it should reach, isn't making it work as it should work. Even though the electric power is present. So something is making sure that it cannot work as it should. Am I correct so far? And I saw that it could be all kinds of things. It could be that there is oil in there, there is dirt in there, bridging it. There could be burnt wire. But something, the key thing is that there is power present. The key thing is that the electric power is there. But it can't power the radio. It's not powering the TV. It's not powering the fan. It's not powering the lights. They are not working because they are being short-circuited. And so God wants me to speak to you a little bit about short-circuiting your faith. And that is that there is faith. The Bible talks about the fact that he has given unto all of us the measure of faith, or a measure of faith, Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. So there's a measure of faith given, but what you do with the measure of faith also makes a difference between Brother Christian and Sister Christiana. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Brother Christian and Sister Christiana will have, or they have been given faith by God, but what they do with that faith is going to make a difference. So just the same way, but when we deal with human anatomy just means the human makeup, the human buildup, the physical structures of the human body. So when we look at the human anatomy says to you that the muscles that I have in my body are the same muscles that Ada has in her body, even though it doesn't look like it. Are you with me? Somebody say, pick on somebody your size. I chose somebody that I'm bigger than. Amen. Hallelujah. So that I won't pick some of the muscle builders around. Amen. But no matter what the person looks like, what I'm saying to you is that what I have is what he or she has, is the same muscles, but it's what they have done with those muscles that make a difference. So we start off in our journey with God, in our walk with God, with a measure of faith. But it's either you feed and build and use your faith, or you don't feed and you don't build your faith. And so it looks like this person gets more results. It looks like God is answering this person. It looks like God is doing things for this person than he's doing for you. However, my main point is that God has given you the measure of faith. And even the measure of faith that you have, when you build, when you use it, when you feed it and all of that, and in quotes, you have big faith, you might still short circuit your faith. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You might still short circuit your faith, meaning that the faith is there. You believe God, you know God, you trust God, you are fasting, you are praying, you are studying God's word, you are praying hours a day, you have been confessing also, you make your confessions of faith, but it looks like the thing you want to power is not powering. And there are three things that I want us to talk about this morning, as I believe God wants us to say, that will short circuit your faith. Number one is a lack of character. Are you hearing me? Please go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. So we're talking about short-circuiting your faith, meaning that you have faith. You might even have big faith. But it looks like you are believing God for something. And what you are believing God for is not happening. That means your faith is being short-circuited. Something is cutting it out within. Something is making sure that it cannot deliver what it should deliver for you. Are you still with me? Please look at your neighbor. Say, I think he's talking to you this morning. I didn't say it to yourself. I said, look at your neighbor. If you cannot eyeball your neighbor, you can't eyeball the devil. So look at your neighbor, Kurukuru, and say, I think he's talking to you this morning. I said, bind the devil. And you are even your neighbor now. To talk to your neighbor, you are looking down. How will you bind the devil? Hallelujah. When your neighbor is such a lovely Christian, you can't look them in the face. Are you still there? 2 Peter chapter 1. Are you with me? Okay, very good. Let's read from verse 5. Or let's read from verse 1. It's going to be a long read, but that's fine. It says, Simon Peter, a bond servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us, by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Okay, so grace and peace is multiplied to you as you know him, as you walk with him. Grace and peace is multiplied. It says, as or according as his divine power has given to us, not will give to us. It says, as his divine power has already given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Can I hear you say exceedingly great and precious promises have been given to me? Say it like you believe it. Say exceedingly great and precious promises have been given to me. He said, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of a divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Verse 5. He said, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Can I have an amen? This is my emphasis. It says, for if these things are truly yours and abound, you'll be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Meaning that he's telling you already, he says that exceeding great and precious promises have been given to you. So that by them you escape the corruption that's in this world. So you're already a victor. He has already blessed you. He has already increased you. He has already given you victory. He says, however, if these things are not in you and abound, then you will be barren and unfruitful. Meaning that despite the promises, despite what God has done, despite his power that has been handed over to you, it means that there is a possibility that I can be barren and unfruitful in my knowledge of him or in my walk with him. So it means, therefore, that these are things that will short-circuit all of the promises of God in my life. And that means that I ought to pay attention. As a matter of fact, in verse 5, he said, for this very reason, giving all diligence. Meaning, take these things very seriously. Meaning, apply yourself to these things. Meaning, look, you better pursue these things with everything you have inside of you. And what are those things? He said, add to your faith. Can I hear you say, add to your faith? I preached that the same thing or the same text some years ago, and I called it the things you need to add to your faith. So the things that, or I titled another one, I called it faith is not enough. Meaning that just having faith is not enough. There are certain things that you must be added. And he said you must add to your faith virtue. You must add to that virtue knowledge. You must add to that knowledge self-control. You must add perseverance. You must add godliness. You must add brotherly kindness. And you must add love. Are you hearing me? In summary, you must add good character. Are you still there, anybody? In summary, your faith must go beyond just speaking in tongues. Your faith must go beyond just confessing God's word. Your faith must affect your lifestyle. Your faith must show in who you are and how you live. Are you still there? On one hand, for instance, it talks about self-control. If you have no self-control, then you will not be able to control how you speak. And it's going to affect your faith. It means that you are going to say anything and say them the way you feel. You know, there be some people who just say, hey, that's the way I feel. And then when you say, oh, you are making wrong confession, say, hey, one can't even talk in peace. I just want to express myself. Can't I express myself? Express yourself, but short circuit your faith along the line. It's a choice you have to make. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's not everything you feel like that you say. It's not everything you see that you say. It's not everything you think that you say. Because your words make a difference. Can I show you another scripture along those lines? James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Are you listening to me this morning? Now, what James said to us, and why I'm picking on just your words, for instance, for self-control, is that James said to us that if you cannot control your tongue, he said you cannot control your whole body. James said to us that self-control is typified, or self-control is seen first and foremost in your ability to control how you talk. Are you with me? If you can keep yourself from not saying certain things, the Bible tells us the same thing, I think, in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. It said, he that will enjoy life and see good days. He that will enjoy life and see good days. Is there anybody here who wants to enjoy life? Is there anybody who wants to see good days? The Bible says, he that will enjoy life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. Refrain. Can I hear you say refrain? How do you define refrain? You know, every time I remember refrain, I remember one morning I was going to school. I was being taken in a car. I was going to school. As we're driving in Ibadan and we're going along Bodija Road, you know, we're going towards Bodija Market. There was a cow that was just running all over the place and everybody was running. People were running from one side to the other and they were dodging the cow. And the cow was just bouncing like a king, like that. And everybody was running from that cow. And there was one man that was running behind the cow and he was holding, you know, I only saw those things in cowboy movies. And this guy was holding a rope and he was swinging the rope and he was swinging the rope and running after the cow. And then after a while, he just threw the rope and the rope went and fell on the cow's neck and he refrained the cow. And then here he said refrain. Now you can't forget the meaning of refrain, Abby. It means that your tongue will be running down the road. Your tongue will be running down the road. It will be saying this, it will be saying that, it will be saying everything it's not supposed to say, except you take a rope and you throw a rope around your tongue and you pull it back. Your neighbor say, pull back your tongue. It means that if you leave your tongue to speak whatever it wants to speak, it's going to say the wrong things. That's what the Bible is telling us. It's going to say the things it's not supposed to say, and those things will short circuit your faith. It doesn't matter that you come to church after that and you kneel down and you pray and say you are believing God for something, but the moment you step out, if you don't control your tongue, then your faith will be what? Short circuited. Are you with me? James chapter 1 and verse 26. The Bible says, if any one of you thinks that he is religious, if you like, if any one of you thinks that he is spiritual, if any one of you thinks that he's a spirit gang gang, are you hearing me? And does not bridle his tongue. The Bible says he deceives his own heart. And that one's spirituality or religion or faith is useless. Did you hear that? I said, did you hear that? If anyone thinks that he's spiritual, he's religious, he knows God, but doesn't bridle or refrain his tongue, he said that man's spirituality is useless. You don't get any results. Are you still there? Met too many believers who say all kinds of things. They just talk anyhow, and then when something goes wrong, then they start praying and praying and asking everybody to agree with them in prayer. Brother Egan said there was a young man in his 40s. He said one day he was teaching a class and he saw a cloud on his head and he knew that cloud, when he sees it, it means that person, that cloud, that person is going to die. He said, but he knew by the Spirit of God, but okay, normally when he sees that, he will call the person and talk to the person and say, look, let's do something about this. But he asked this guy to see him. But eventually this guy died anyway. Didn't see him and died. He said, and when he was talking and investigating about this, the brother said to him, he said, you know, he always said that he would die at this age. He always said it since he was young. And Bragi said, Bragi said, at some point God told him, he said, spiritual laws have been set in motion from long ago and cannot be changed at this time. He said, while he was thinking and praying for him, God said, spiritual laws have been set in motion and cannot be changed at this time. Remember, we're talking about that character. And we're saying that character, one of the things it says in there is what? Self-control. And here it says self-control. And we're saying that self-control begins with your managing your tongue. So if you're thinking, I want to develop self-control, start with watching what you say and controlling what you say. If you can, you have reached the height of self-control. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you can control your tongue, you can control yourself in any other area. I'll give you another example. One other thing he says about the character there, he says that you need to hatch your faith, what? Perseverance. Can I hear you say perseverance? Another word you can use, patience. Another word you can use, consistency. Hebrews chapter 10, 35, he says you have need of confidence. That when you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12. It says, let us follow those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. It means that those who inherit the promises don't do so just because they have faith. They also have patience. They also have perseverance. They can stay there. They say they are believing God. They are not going to give up. They will stay believing God. They will stay believing God. They will stay believing God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They are not going to give up. Don't be like the man who said and was praying and said, God, give me patience and I want it now. Are you hearing me? Patience means staying power. It means that I can stay there. I'm trusting God. Nothing seems to change, but I'm patient. I'm persevering. I'm able to just stand it. And people are wondering, how come you are not troubled? How come you are not giving up? How come? That's what they said to Job. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Job went through. Hey, how many people have read the book of Job here before? You've read the book of Job, or you've heard about the book of Job. When we were young, we used to go for a Bible, like a Bible quiz, in our church. And they asked a question, and they said, which book had blah, 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 or who went through this, this, this? And my cousin said, Job. Job. Where's Job? Are you hearing me? Job was a man in the Bible who the Bible says was the most blessed man in the region. So Job was the richest. Job was blessed. Job was the envy of the society. But all of a sudden, calamity hit Job. The kind of calamity that I'm not sure many of us can survive. Especially today, where we are following Jesus for what he can give. Are you there? You are very quiet this morning now. Eh? Just keep looking straight and smiling. Anything that affects you, nobody will know. Hallelujah. You'll be smiling, you will laugh louder than the rest. They won't know that that one hit you. Hallelujah. But Job had a bad situation. Every time I think, because again, when you read your Bible, imagine it. It's not stories, it's real people. Okay? Imagine it. In one day, all his children died. One day. And then before you knew it, businesses collapsed. Everything. He lost everything that he had. Business, everything collapsed. And then on top of that, he now became very sick. You need money even for treatment. But everything went down the hill and went down very fast. If you read the book of Job, it sounds like a lifetime. But theologians tell us that it's about 18 months. 1 year to 18 months. So in quote, the way we will say it in business balance, you say Job had a bad year. But that year was very bad. Are you hearing me? It was very bad. His wife said to him, curse God and die. But yet Job stood there. He said, the naked I came into the world, naked will I return. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, though he slay me, yet will I praise him. I'm not giving up. Job stood there, still looking unto God. If Job had listened in the 11th month of the 12th month, and Job had cursed God and died, that would have been the end of the story. But the Bible says that Job stood there. James tells us very clearly. He said, those who endure, we consider them to be blessed. The people who have perseverance, that's what James said. He said, we consider those who persevere, we consider them to be blessed. It is only because they persevered. He said, consider Job. He said, because Job stood his ground and persevered. He said, then we saw the end intended by the Lord. Meaning that if he did not persevere, the story would have ended differently in the Bible. We just have heard that Job died. But the Bible said it was in Job chapter 42. He said the end of Job was better than his beginning. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But my point is this, is that that was so, and that could be written for you and I to read, so that what? We could persevere. Character. A character that perseveres. You know, now we sit, we go to a restaurant, they are bringing the food. If it's 5 minutes late, we are banging the table. Bah, 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 bah. What's all this nonsense now? Bah, 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 bah. No perseverance whatsoever, but you need to develop that character of patience, that character of perseverance, that character of endurance. Are you hearing me? Listen, the point is this. Everything in God's word is true. But everything in God's word won't appear or work for you overnight. And I have an amen. So it's not that I pray today. It's not that I've been serving God. I've been serving God. I come to even to this church. I'm the earliest to come to this church. And I've been here for 2 years. I've been here for 5 years. And God has not done it for me. Stay there and believe God. Are you hearing me? When you have that perseverance, he said, those who through faith and patience, they inherit the promises. The people who walk with God and can continue to walk with God and continue to walk with God. God told Abraham, he said, Abraham, walk before me and be perfect. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. Exceeding great reward. Abraham didn't see it at first. Genesis 15, by the time God came to him again and he said, I am your exceeding great reward. Abraham said, but see me now, God. No child is the one that is born, the child of my slave that is born in my house. That's all I have. And God said, no, it's coming. Are you hearing me? Look at your neighbor, say it's coming. But you need to persevere. Number two, not very popular, but sin. Sin would short circuit your faith. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I said, are you hearing what I'm saying? Sin is still a thing. Huh? Sin is still a thing that we need to talk about, we need to warn about, we need to tell people, you can't live anyhow and expect your faith to function anyhow. Are you hearing me? Let me show you a scripture here. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Thank God for God's goodness. Thank God for God's forgiveness. Thank God for God's grace. Thank God for God's mercy. And hear me clearly. But you are struggling with something. It's not an issue with God. Okay? God loves you all the same. You are struggling with something. God loves you. But what? God likes that word struggling. Can I hear it say struggling? It means I'm struggling with it. It means I'm not comfortable with it. It means I'm not happy with it. It means I'm not relaxing in my sin. It means I'm not staying there. It means I'm fighting that sin. I think it's Hebrews chapter 12, if I'm right, that talks about the fact that we have not yet strived with sin unto the shedding of blood. 1 John 3 verse 8, verse 9 and verse 16, or 9 and 18. It talks about the fact that he that is saved does not want to sin. So the want to is the difference. The fact that a child of God does not want to. He might fall into sin, but he doesn't want to, and he will keep fighting the sin. Are you hearing me? But you can't be comfortable with sin and expect that your faith works all the same. And I'll tell you why. Look at 1 John chapter 3. It said verse 20. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Emphasis on verse 21. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have what? Confidence towards God. So when I live in a way that my heart doesn't condemn me, it enables my confidence towards God. It enables my confidence. Can I hear you say my confidence? Look at verse 22. It says, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Sin will pollute your confidence. Sin will reduce your confidence. When you are believing God, then the devil will whisper and say, now your type. So bury sin and grow in confidence towards God. You understand what I'm saying? I said, you understand what I'm saying? Go before God and fight the sin. And fight the sin. Fight it on Monday. Fight it on Tuesday. Fight it on Wednesday. Fight it in January. Fight it for months and months and months. Fight it for as long as it takes until you overcome it. Because every time that sin rears its head, it will attempt to short circuit your faith. Because it will attempt to break your confidence towards God. Are you with me? You want to be able to stand before God and pray, and the accuser of the brethren has nothing to accuse you of. in order to make you shy away. Are you there? Somebody says, but you don't know the thing I'm dealing with. No, I don't need to know. But I know what the Bible says about you if you are saved. If you are not, you can be saved this morning. But if you are saved, I know what the Bible says about you. And I know the instructions that he gave. Why he says so. He said to us, he said we should lay aside every sin that doth so easily beset us and every weight and run the race that he set before us. If he said it, if he said I should lay it aside, can I hear you say lay it aside? That means I have the ability to do so. If God says lay it aside, God is not an unfair judge. If he says lay it aside, it means he has given me the ability to do so. And why? Romans 6 tells me that when Christ died, I died with him. And I rose into newness of life. He said, therefore sin, verse 12, therefore sin shall not have dominion over you. So you'll have to sit with such scriptures. You'll have to sit with them. You'll have to meditate on them. You'll have to pray it out. You'll have to mutter it out. You have to keep saying it to yourself and say, no. I may have fallen into sin now, but I won't next time. Why? Because sin shall not have dominion over me. I'll say it till I believe it. And when I believe it, I will start living it out. Hallelujah. Number three, not walking in love. Did you hear me? Not walking in love. That love is not just I love you because you love me. That love is I love you even if you don't love me. That's the Bible love. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I love you even if you don't love me. I love you even if you don't treat me right. I love you even if you hate me. Somebody say hate care. Yes now. Read Matthew 5. Read Romans 12. It says, bless those who persecute you in Romans chapter 12. Bless and curse not. Matthew 5, it says you should pray for them even. The ones who despitefully use you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But hear this. Galatians chapter 5. I came to deliver a message to you. That's all I'm doing this morning. I'm delivering a message. I woke up and I heard God say, short circuit in your faith. And I probed further. And he said, people might have faith. People might believe God. They are trusting me truly. They are standing on scriptures truly. But there are things that will short circuit their faith. And you need to warn them about those things. That's all I came to do this morning. Are you hearing me? I said, number one is what? Lack of character. Number two, sin. Number three, not walking in love towards the other people around you. Galatians chapter 5 verse 6. Can we read that together? It says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. But what? Faith walking through love. Faith doing what? Walking what? True love. Faith doing what? Faith walking through what? Now, I'm remembering my primary school English teacher. If something is walking through something, Abby, and I remove the something that is walking through, will that thing work? Are you hearing me, anybody? The Nigerian government works security through the police. If I remove the police, will you have the security? Are you getting what I'm saying? Your bank is delivering money to you through what is called an ATM. They are working through ATMs to deliver money to you. If I remove the ATM, will you get the money? You are getting me now. You know, what we used to walk in. I mean, we used to watch, who was that in those days? I would say, sure of me, understand it. Sure of me, understand it. It's my word understanding you. You are understanding now. So if I remove what is walking through, you will not get what is supposed to be working. So when the Bible says that faith works through love, if I remove the love, faith is not working. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So you can do all you want, confess all you want, list out 20 scriptures on the matter, but you are not walking in love, then it's not going to work. Are you hearing me? Let's read two scriptures more and I'll stop. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Mark 11:23. It says, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart," he's talking about how faith works, "but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have what he says," whatever he says. Verse 24 says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask for, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." Now, verse 25 says what? And, can I hear you say and? Again, I'm remembering my English teacher. And, those who did not, how do we say it now? Good school. Or good class. How do you say that one? Those who didn't punch your class. Those of you who didn't punch your class. Those who were not trans. Trans is the big English. And is what? Is conjunction. It means that it joins one to another. It means that it joins verse 24 to verse 25. It means that when you are praying, he's saying to you, and whenever you stand, whenever you stand praying, if you have what? Anything. Can I hear you say anything? Against anyone, forgive him. It means that you can't separate verse 24 from verse 25 and the forgiveness therein, which is part of walking in love. If you read 1 Corinthians 13, we don't have time to read that this morning. But if you read it, it's part of it, part and parcel. Walking in love, part and parcel. Is that love covers a multitude of sins. Is that love will forgive things. One of my favorite songs is by some guy in Southern Africa. Take sure. And that song, in English, he speaks it in their language. In English, it means, "I forgive you in advance. I forgive you in advance." Many of us need to have forgiven in advance. You know people, you meet people, you forgive them. So they do things. You have already forgiven them in advance. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Why? Because allowing or getting yourself out of walking in love destroys, short circuits your faith. It does you a disservice. It will make sure that your faith is not producing results. Are you there? Mark 11:25 says, "If you have anything against anyone," somebody say, "Hey, but it's not me. It's not me. Me, I'm fine. Me, I don't have anything against anyone. Abibeko, I am fine. I don't. Okay. Then this scripture is for you. Mark chapter 5." Matthew chapter 5. All the people who have raised their hand and say, "It's not me, I have nothing against anyone." Okay? Matthew 5, are you there? Look at verse 23. It says, "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar," or let's start it, because it says therefore, let's start from the one before. Okay? Let's start from above it. It said in verse 21, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder. And whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment." People say, huh? How can you murder somebody? You'll be in danger of judgment. He said, "But I say to you that whoever is angry," can I hear you say angry, "with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment." Somebody say, without a cause now. I mean, I have cause. I have reason for being angry. "And whoever says to his brother," you know, it's like God is just, He's dealing with all the levels. You understand what I'm talking about? He's dealing with the levels. Say mother, say me. Tufiaka. Olomaje, mother. It's not inside of me. Then he says, no, if you're angry with your brother without a cause, there's reason why I'm angry. Then he says, if you say, whoever says to his brother, Raka, which means you fool, he says, shall be in danger of the council, but whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Abi, kilagbe kilaju. Just because I called him fool. He said, you'll be in danger of, meaning you are treading dangerous paths. Meaning it is risky for you. The path you are treading. He's not saying you'll be in hellfire. He's saying you are treading dangerous. You are at risk. Meaning that that thing is leading you down a road you shouldn't be on. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Then he now says what? Therefore. You understand the context now. He now says, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. So now this one that you have been saying that me, I don't have anything against anyone. He said, it's your brother now that has something against you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I don't have anything, but he has something against you. God says, go and settle it first. Go and settle it first. Go there and make peace. Leave the gift on the altar. Forget about the praying to God. That's a gift on the altar. Forget about the offering and all of that. He said, first leave that one. Go and settle with him. Are you hearing me? We need... I remember Egan said something, and I forget how he says it, that God will judge, something like God will judge spiritual sins faster than he will judge physical sins. Meaning all these sins of envy, jealousy, anger, unforgiveness, that one, you will face repercussion faster than you will for the things we think that this one is a thief. He said you will face repercussion very fast from God over those things. Are you hearing me? You want your faith to work. Purge yourself of these things that short circuit faith. Are you there? Purge yourself of these things. And your faith will produce results. Work on your character. Work on your self-control. Work on your perseverance. Work on your knowledge. Work on your virtue. Your personality. Work on those things. Fight sin and kick sin in the butt. Kick sin away from your life. Are you there? And walk in love. And watch. Watch the blessings begin to flow in your life. Let's stand on our feet this morning. I want to do two things very quickly. Two things. I want to pray for two people, two sets of people very quickly. Number one, you are not born again. You are not born again. Or you are. You've given your life to Christ before, maybe. But you have just walked away from God. You hardly know who God is anymore. And you are not sure of your salvation anymore. It's the great thing that you are here, and I don't think it's a mistake. I think God brought you here today. If you have never heard the gospel before, it's a great thing that God brought you here today. If you have heard it before, you've responded before, but you've walked away from God. Thank God, He's a loving, merciful Father. He brought you here this morning. All eyes closed, all heads bowed, everybody praying and minding their own business. You belong in any of those two categories that I said. You probably have your heart beating faster. You are feeling a bit anxious. You are wondering, are people looking at me or not? Forget the people. And get your salvation. Because the people won't be there on Judgment Day. None of them will be there. You will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Receive according to that which was done in the body when you were on heart. So why don't you settle it with God now and receive peace? Make peace with God now. If you are there and that's speaking to you, put your hand on your chest right where you are. Thank you for those hands. Put it there very boldly. Forget everybody else. Put it there very boldly. And with your eyes closed so that you can focus. And you forget about everybody else. There's a lady who needs to do it. I won't call you out because of what I perceive in my spirit. But you've had multiple abortions. And you're thinking, you don't know me. You don't know how far I've gone. God is saying, I love you still. You can't go too far for Him not to love you. So join them and put your hand on your chest boldly, because God laid that on my heart because of you. God wanted to assure you that He knows and He cares. Now say right where you are, under your breath, say, Lord Jesus, here I am this morning. Thank you for your love. Thank you for dying for me on the cross. I believe it. And this morning, I confess you as my Savior and my Lord. I yield my life to you, just like you gave yours for me. I will follow you. I will do my best to know you. I will do my best to be who you want me to be. Thank you for saving me this morning. Amen. Father, thank you for everyone who spread that this morning. Thank you because you drew them yourself and you will keep them. We commit them into your hands. You're able to keep them strong and they will walk with you all the days of their lives. You'll preserve them, spirit, soul, and body. And present them whole on that day. In the name of Jesus. What you need to do, pray every day. Read your Bible for yourself. Start from Matthew, the book of Matthew. Start from the New Testament. And read it. Just read. Read it. And then go to church. Be in a Bible-believing church. Find a Bible-teaching and believing church and be there every time the church door opens. Make the time for God and God will make the time for you. Amen. So three things. Pray every day. Read your Bible every day. Go to church. Bible-believing church. You did that also online. God heard you. And the joy of His salvation fills your heart even now. You will know. You just feel that peace and that joy. Second set of people I want to pray for. You're sick in your body. This morning, you are sick. You want prayer? Just lift your hand right where you are. You want prayer? You want prayer for a sickness? Okay, I don't see too many hands. Just come out very quickly. Come out very quickly. Come out very quickly. I'm just going to lay hands on you very quickly. Father, thank you. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Everybody else, just praying, just praying, just praying, just praying, just praying. Praying for them, praying for them, praying and praying for yourself. Just pray, pray, pray. If you can pray in other tongues, begin to pray in other tongues. Father, thank you because your power comes upon each and every one of them. We cause sickness, we cause disease, even from its root. We command their healing from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet. Thank you for your mighty touch. Thank you for your power upon them. Thank you, Lord. Leke doshta bahande. Lekeshto prashta brando sokolo brekishta bahande. Be healed by the power of God and in the name of Jesus. Be healed by the power of God. Don't hold them up. Leke doshta bahande. Father, thank you. Touch. Be healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That power goes right through her from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, causing a healing and a cure. That's it. Went right through you. Father, thank you. 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 Yeah, thank you. Your mighty power goes right through her. Rebuke the sickness. Rebuke the disease. Stop praying. Stop praying. Just receive the power of God. Stop praying. Stop praying. Stop praying. Just receive. Just receive. Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for your mighty hand upon her. And your power flows right through her. And that's it. I just felt it go right through you. I just felt it go right through you. I just felt it go right through you. Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Let's begin to give God praise this morning. Begin to thank Him. Appreciate Him.
Oh, You are glorious and worthy to be praised. You are the Lamb of the throne.